Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Linda Collins Smith. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Linda Collins Smith was born on April 17, 1962, and lived in Pocahontas, Arkansas. This is in the northeast corner of the state. She was raised by her parents, Benny and Carolyn, and was extremely poor. Her childhood home did not have running water until she was a teenager. As an adult, Linda worked as a real estate agent and had two children, Butch and Tate. She lived in a 3,300-square-foot house on Highway 90 West. In the mid-1990s, she married a man named Philip Smith, who was both a lawyer and a judge. He raised Butch and Tate as his own. The couple purchased two motels, a Days Inn and a motel called the Rock and Roll Highway 67. In 2010, Linda started a political career when she was elected to the Arkansas House of Representatives. She served for 2 years. Linda had been elected as a Democrat, but switched parties to Republican in August 2011. In November 2014, she was elected to the Arkansas Senate, serving from 2015 to 2019. During the next election cycle, the governor supported another candidate, and Linda was defeated during the primary. By this time, Linda and Philip were separated. During the contentious divorce proceedings that followed, Linda accused Philip of viewing clothing-challenged images on a state-owned computer in his chambers. Later, Philip admitted to improperly using court computer equipment after regular work hours at the office. He was permanently banned from serving as a judge. The divorce was finalized in October 2018. By this time, the Days Inn had been sold, but Linda still owned and operated the other motel. She maintained an interest in politics, despite her defeat, and was desperately seeking to get involved again. Linda became friends with a woman named Rebecca Lynn O'Donnell, who went by the name Becky. She also became friends with Becky's fiancé, Tim Loggins. Some people were surprised at how quickly the friendship formed and how Linda put a lot of trust in them. For instance, Becky functioned as a personal assistant and took on a management role at the motel. Before moving to the timeline of the crime, let's hear a word from today's sponsor, Delete Me. Over the past few years, I have covered a lot of stalking cases, which involve a perpetrator easily finding personal information online. When people try to get this information removed, they find it's extremely time-consuming. Fortunately, there is a solution. Delete Me is a subscription service that can eliminate this type of personal information that is for sale online. They have the straightforward mission of removing customers' information from search results and upholding your right to manage and remove your personal information. The privacy experts at DeleteMe work continually to remove information from hundreds of data brokers. This gets rid of your personal data like address, occupation, marital status, age, names of relatives, and so on. How does it work? Submit your information to DeleteMe, and their experts remove it. After that, they check every 3 months to make sure any new data get removed as well. If you want to get your information removed from hundreds of data brokers, go to joindeleteme.com/drgrande. DeleteMe is offering 20% off their privacy plans to all my viewers with code drgrande. Again, that's joindeleteme.com/drgrande, promo code drgrande. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On June 4, 2019, at 5:30 p.m., Linda's son, Butch, called 911 and reported that he was at his mother's house in Pocahontas, Arkansas. He and his grandfather, Benny, were there performing a wellness check on Linda because no one had been able to reach her. As they were looking around her property, they found a body wrapped in a blanket. It was under a tarp covering some construction equipment in the driveway. Linda's house was being renovated at the time. The police arrived on the scene and started their investigation. The medical examiner identified the body as Linda. Her cause of death was multiple stab wounds. There was no forced entry into her house. Linda had 9 security cameras inside and outside of her house, which had been removed. In her kitchen, there was a large blood stain on the subfloor. Again, the home was being renovated. A blood stain on a bottle of Clorox was also found. This suggested that somebody had tried to clean up the scene of the murder. The police learned that Linda had returned from a job hunting trip to Washington, D.C. on May 27, 2019. She asked her boyfriend Rendell to spend that night at her house. Rendell told investigators that he left the next morning, May 28. The police came to believe that Linda was probably murdered that same day, sometime after Rendell had left. Rendell was excluded as a potential suspect. The police knew that he was not involved in the murder. When investigators spoke to Becky O'Donnell, she claimed that she had not seen Linda since May 28. Linda had texted her asking for lunch, so Becky brought her chicken strips sometime in the afternoon. Becky indicated that she and Linda had an argument about how Linda was moving too fast in her relationship with Rendell. Linda was upset because Rendell had not texted her back for several hours. After leaving Linda's house, Becky called her, but Linda hung up on her after a brief exchange. Becky had not heard from Linda since and assumed it was because Linda was angry with her. The police did not initially suspect Becky of killing Linda, but they did learn about one lie that she told. Becky claimed that she had lost her phone, but cell phone data indicated that she had used her phone after the time she supposedly lost it. One obvious potential suspect for the police to examine was Linda's ex-husband, Phil. Linda and Phil had been through a contentious divorce, and Linda allegedly told people she was afraid of him. For a couple of years during the marriage, Linda had been sick with mercury poisoning, which made investigators wonder if Phil had tried to harm her. Becky told the police that Linda was scared of Phil, he had crazy eyes, and he stalked and harassed Linda. Becky also claimed that Phil showed up at the motel one time. Due to a high level of fear of Phil, Linda placed a gun in her nightstand for protection, changed the locks in her house, and had a security system installed. When the police spoke to Phil, he denied killing Linda or mistreating her in any way. He said that he never stalked or harassed her. Investigators were able to exclude Phil as a potential suspect. They also cleared Becky's fiancé, Tim. There was only one potential suspect remaining, Becky O'Donnell, but there was no compelling evidence pointing to her as the killer. This changed on June 14, 2019, when the police obtained video recorded by Linda's security cameras. All the cameras had been taken from her house at the time of the murder. However, some of the video had been transferred to the cloud. On May 28, 2019, the day Linda was murdered, she could be seen with Becky inside the house during the afternoon. The women were talking. Everything seemed to be fine. Linda was very much alive, and it did not appear as though anybody was trying to harm her. Not long after Becky left the house, a scream was captured by one of the outside cameras. Investigators believe this was Linda being murdered. Becky must have re-entered the house and killed her. About 3 hours later, when it was dark outside, a person could be seen entering the house while hiding behind a sheet. Either someone was celebrating Halloween on a budget several months early, or the killer was returning to the scene to destroy evidence. It is clear the intruder knew where the camera was mounted. The most damaging video taken of Becky was on a camera that she had removed and placed in the bottom of a red purse. The lens of the camera just happened to be facing upward. Becky could be seen standing above the red purse. She was holding a large kitchen knife that appeared to have blood on it. She placed the knife inside the purse. Becky had a white purse strapped around her body. It appeared to have blood on the exterior. On June 15, 2019, 48-year-old Becky O'Donnell was arrested and charged with capital murder, tampering with physical evidence, and abuse of a corpse. The police showed her a still image from the video where she was standing over the purse holding the knife. Becky had a shocked expression on her face, like she had no idea how she had been captured by that camera. This is the same camera that she removed and placed in the purse. Therefore, it should have been pretty obvious to her how it ended up there. Despite the highly inculpatory image, Becky continued to deny responsibility for the murder, and her fiancé, Tim, believed in her innocence. He was convinced the real killer was Linda's ex-husband, Phil, and somehow Becky had been framed for Linda's murder. While Becky was in jail, she came up with a scheme to escape responsibility for the murder. She attempted to hire inmates to kill the judge, the prosecutor, and Linda's ex-husband, Phil. The idea behind killing Phil was to make it look like he had brought an end to his own life. A note would be left behind containing a murder confession. Becky wanted additional guarantees beyond the homicides. She instructed the inmates to blow up a vehicle and delete the video captured on the cameras that she had taken from Linda's house. Becky was extremely ambitious and had a lot of confidence in what the inmates would be able to accomplish. She must have believed that when they were not spending time in jail, they were working as secret agents, comparable to James Bond. Predictably, instead of following through with a complicated homicidal plan, the inmates told the authorities, which resulted in additional charges for Becky. At this point, Becky finally realized that she was going to be held accountable. She and the state entered into a plea agreement. When her fiancé Tim was told that Becky was pleading guilty, he finally came to believe that she had murdered Linda. On August 6, 2020, Becky O'Donnell pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and no contest to 2 counts of solicitation to commit murder. On the next day, she was sentenced to a term of 50 years in prison. Now moving to my analysis. There is no mystery about Becky O'Donnell's guilt. She was captured on video holding a knife while standing in Linda's house. Furthermore, she pleaded guilty to the murder. The only mystery in this case is motive. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Becky O'Donnell was self-centered, impulsive, greedy, overconfident, reckless, violent, cold, callous, remorseless, calculating, possessed superficial charm, had a sense of entitlement, and was moderately creepy. Her history offered a few clues that she was dangerous and untrustworthy. For instance, in 2007, she offered someone $50,000 to kill her then-husband. No charges were filed because Becky claimed that she was joking. At another time, Becky was sentenced to probation for theft. It appears as though Linda did not know about Becky's past. Furthermore, Linda was distracted by her own ambition. She was looking to rebuild her career after a crushing political defeat. She viewed herself as both busy and important. Therefore, she delegated responsibility to Becky. Historically, Linda was reluctant to trust those who she just met, but somehow Becky was able to penetrate that protective shield and become tight with Linda right away. It never occurred to Linda that Becky would steal from her. People on the outside were concerned how Becky was able to establish a close relationship with Linda so quickly, but just like Linda, they had no reason to suspect Becky was up to no good. Now in an excellent position to steal, Becky forged Linda's signature on checks. Ultimately, she may have stolen up to $50,000 from Linda. Becky was probably extremely confident that she could continue stealing for a long time, but to her surprise, Linda realized what was going on. On the day of the murder, something happened that made Becky believe that she was in trouble. She was going to get caught for the theft. Maybe she and Linda fought about the theft. Maybe Linda told her something about an investigation into the forged checks. Whatever it was, Becky believed that she needed to act right away. After she left Linda's house, she re-entered and stabbed Linda to death with a kitchen knife. She came back to the house later because she was worried about all those surveillance cameras. Becky did not realize the cameras sent video to the cloud. She thought that she was safe as long as she physically removed the cameras, which is what she did. She placed one of the cameras she removed into a purse in such a way where the lens was pointed up toward her. This camera was battery powered. It continued to record and continued to transmit data to the cloud. Becky handled the murder weapon in plain view of the camera. There wasn't really any other compelling evidence against Becky outside this video. However, the video alone was enough to convince just about everyone she was guilty. One notable exception was Becky's fiancé, Tim. He was not convinced of Becky's guilt, probably because of the strong emotions he had being in a romantic relationship with her. Nobody wants to believe that their lover could be a killer. This is a great example of how powerful partiality and denial can be. Partiality explains why Tim favored Becky's innocence. Denial explains why he could not accept the evidence against her. Tim had a blind spot that was shaped just like Becky. Despite having spent decades in law enforcement, he firmly believed that a woman caught on camera holding a knife in the murder victim's house was somehow innocent. She had been framed. This was all a big conspiracy. This is why it is always unwise to trust a law enforcement officer who is connected to a case. They can react the same way that family members do. Even people who are otherwise logical develop a distorted view when information passes through strong emotions. They do not feel like they are being deceived or manipulated in the moment. Only later, after they realize the truth, can they understand how bizarre their beliefs were? This is why people connected to a case often insist they can remain objective. From their perspective, it genuinely feels like they are being fair. It's just another case, nothing personal. They do not realize that their judgment has already been bent around the person they care about. The manipulation of Tim was not a testament to Becky's abilities, but rather a testament to the power of romance, love, and passion. Those feelings can hide a killer much more effectively than removing surveillance cameras or hiding behind a sheet. Those are my thoughts on the case of Linda Collins Smith. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.